you, Pastor. You may be seated. One of the advantages of getting older is you get to hug all the young men. And nobody says anything about it, you know. Thank you, Pastor, for that wonderful introduction. Truthfully, I'm just a grandmother. Mother of two, grandmother of five, great-grandmother of eight, and almost nine. And I delight in that. Yes. I love my kids. In fact, tell you the truth, that's why my husband's sick. We had the kids over on Tuesday, and they both came down with the stomach flu on Wednesday. So they shared it with him. Wasn't that nice? Thank you for the invitation, and I do apologize for my husband not being here. I guess I'm the second string. Of course, you know, if you're second string to the first string like he is, that's still not a bad idea. So he says to me this morning, I can't make it. I just can't make it. And he really was very sick. But I can't tell you how disappointed he was, because he was really anxious to be with this congregation. And he's missed it. This has been wonderful this morning. Your worship has been exhilarating. Going to have a meeting around here called that, I think. I think that's very good. But I was greatly blessed by your worship this morning. And this is my third time to North Chapel. And I can see the growth and the moving forward. And it's just, it's wonderful. What God has planned for you is more than you can even begin to imagine. And if you will keep moving and in the will of God, and you know how you follow the will of God, one step at a time. He never shows you the whole thing. You just do what is there to be done now, and the next thing comes up. And it's going to be great what God is doing here. I leaned over to Loida and said to her this morning, you have to understand that they're like our family. And let me just tell you a little bit about how they came to be associated with us. We've known, had known Jared for before he was ever born, knew his folks, as he said. But my husband came in one day. We had had his assistant associate had moved on, and he said, well, I'm going to bring another couple in. I said, good, who is it? He said, it's Jared and Loida Howell. I said, great. We know Jared. He's wonderful. This is pastor to you. And he said, yes, the Lord spoke to me, and Loida's going to be your secretary. I said, well, thank you very much. I've never even met her. I don't know her. But it was the will of God, and we had some wonderful times together. And I will tell you that you are blessed with top-notch leadership. Not only leadership, but they have the anointing of God on them. And I do appreciate it. You will not find anybody with more ability or with a better spirit than what your pastor has exemplified and his wife alongside him. So you're blessed. And maybe we'll come back and maybe I'll let my husband preach. Thank you for your attention, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. You know, I want to start off with a little story. I've already told you I'm a grandmother. Proud of it. You know, when you hit 80, man, you wear that like a badge because you've survived. But I have a granddaughter that was a little diva. She's grown now and has a child of her own. God help her if it's like her. But Shannon was quite a little girl. And she's a tremendous writer. But her mother, she was working at the office when Shannon was about 3 or 4 years old. And I was going to be at the house that day. And Terry called and said, I'm going to bring Shannon down. I've got a lot to do today, and she can stay with you at the house. So she comes up, and Shannon comes in the back door. And this is the way she looked. I mean, it was very evident she was not happy. So she wouldn't speak to me. She started following me around the house. And I said, Shannon, what's wrong? She said, Mimi, Sometimes you don't get what you want because life just happens. Well, it was quite a bit of wisdom coming from a 3 or 4 year old, you know. So I continued around the house, and she followed me around still just like that. And finally she spoke up again, Mimi, sometime you fall down and skin your knee because life just happens. You know, I'm trying to process all of this. What's going on in this little mind? Then her third announcement was, Mimi, sometime your mommy leaves you because life just happens. Then I knew what was wrong. But let me just tell you, it has become a mantra in our house because it is a true saying. Life just happens. Sometimes you don't get what you want. Sometimes you don't even get what you need because life just happens. And then as you move on through life, it's not your knee that gets skinned, but it's your heart that gets broken. And there's pain and there's hurt. And then your mommy would have always come back. But in life, there are times when you are abandoned by somebody that meant a lot to you. Because life just happens. It's a true saying. It really is. Because you see, life is what happens while you're making other plans. You don't have a plan for those kind of things, but they do happen. But I have some good news for you today. First scripture is 1 Peter 4:12. I think they'll put it on the screen for us. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, my translation of that, this is Mimi's translation of that. Don't be surprised by a crisis because life just happens. It always is happening. So what do you do? Well, I want to help you with that today because not one of you here will be exempt. There will be pain in life. It just comes with life. I wish to God I knew how to escape it, but it's just part of life. But you know, it's amazing that as you move on through life, you forget so much of it because God does prove himself faithful. But let me get started with what I want to share with you today. Paul, the apostle, writes with great emphasis and tells us something that we need to remember. It's found in Ephesians 6 and 16. It's following the scriptures about put on the whole armor of God. We all know about that, but I want you to notice, I think that they've got the wrong scripture up there, but we'll see, and I'm using the King James Version. But what it says in the King James Version, that was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Ephesians 6 and 16 is what I want to talk to you about. It says, above all, now that's very interesting, that he would have gone through the whole armor, teaching us the importance of the armor. And then he says, but above all of that, he says, you need to take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. I want to talk to you today about the shield that is the best protection you can ever have while life is just happening. And since life just happens, you better get a grip because it's going to happen to you. You know, I've had a lot of wonderful things in life, but I've had a lot of hard knocks. But I've survived. And the only way you really survive and make it not just survive, but you thrive after you've survived is when you can get a grip on faith. Faith makes all the difference in the world. Why does the Apostle Paul say, above all, get the shield of faith? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that it's the most versatile part of the entire armor that he talked about. Now, he's talking about the armor of the old soldiers that fought many years ago. You know, they're strapped down with their sword. They've got their breastplate. It's all strapped on. Everything is permanently in place except the shield. The shield is movable. And the shield of faith is movable for any circumstance or problem that you face. You can always move the shield. It can protect anything. It can protect any part. So above all, even above prayer. Now we know the importance of prayer. But did you know that without faith, prayer doesn't work? You're just doing a mantra. But with faith, it's what makes prayer works. The scripture says, he that comes to God, what? Must believe that he is. Well, everybody in this building believes there's a God, or you wouldn't be in a church today. But there's another part to that scripture. Must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is the beginning of understanding. So in the intensity of life and spiritual battles, you better get a grip on the shield of faith. I never talk about a shield without thinking about when my kids were little. And it continued even after they got bigger. Do you mothers, now this was before, it's got to be the older mothers, the grandmothers. This was before we had car seats and strapped them down in the back. And mine were standing in the front seat and survived, can you believe? But if I had to put a brake on or I had a swerve, you know what I did automatically? I mean, I will never forget Shannon, the same little girl that was telling me all of this wonderful knowledge, you know. She was grown and in the car with me, and somebody stopped suddenly, and I did this, and she said, Mimi, I'm not a baby anymore. But it's an automatic reaction that you want to protect. And so the shield of faith is just like that. I can not only protect myself, but with the shield of faith, I can reach over and protect my children, my grandchildren. I can protect anyone I'm interested in because it is the movable part of the armor, and it is a very important part. The ultimate aim of the enemy for you is to destroy your faith. Don't ever forget that. Every time something comes to you as a hard bump in life, the ultimate aim of the enemy is to destroy your faith. Because without faith, you are left totally helpless for any divine protection or intervention. Because he that cometh to God must first of all believe that he is, and then believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So you need to understand the importance of faith, and the enemy will be forever trying to drown you in all of your troubles. My husband mentioned to the group yesterday about our son. You know, he's had some really hard knocks. I think he told you he'd had 3 or 4 surgeries. The truth of the matter is he's had either 5 or 7 in the last 5 years, and some of them major. And then on the last day of family vacation, he has this strange thing happen. It's called compartment syndrome. You can Google it because it takes too much time to tell you what it is, but it's horrible. He has a wound on his leg that's 21 inches long, 7 inches wide, and 4 inches deep. That's bad. So why did it happen? I don't know. We'd had a perfect vacation. Everything was wonderful. I have no idea. But one thing I am happy to tell you is Tommy has not lost his grip on faith. And neither have I, because if you can hold on to faith, I know a God and serve a God who can make bad turn into good. If you don't believe it, remember the story of Joseph. How many 13 years he had one bad thing after another, but it catapulted him to the throne of Egypt, and he fulfilled the will of God for his life. God is able, but faith is what moves it. So don't ever let your faith be hurt. You see, a ritual of praying may be a good discipline, but only faith really can activate the power of prayer. You have to know. Scripture says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But only a faith-filled prayer produces the evidence of the power of prayer. It is not your understanding. Faith cannot be explained. Faith cannot be deciphered. Faith is something that, well, it's faith. You take it because God said it. And when God says it, that's enough. Because God said, and everything happened. And when God says, anything can happen. And that's where your faith has to be founded, in the fact that God said it. Yes. Faith is the coin of the kingdom. With faith, you can buy anything God can do. Isn't that amazing? So the scripture says in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Now let me just tell you, as I look over this beautiful congregation today, it would take us all afternoon and into the night if we were to start surveying where everybody is. What's your problem? What's your problem? What's going on in your life? Because life just happens and it's full of problems. But I am here with good news today. I know a God that hears. I know a God that sees. I know a God that is able. And let me tell you one thing. If you believe, we've just passed the Easter season. If you believe that Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you, I've got good news. If he loved you enough to die for you, he care of you. When I to the point that I don't know exactly what to do or how to handle it, and I'm wavering in my faith, is this ever going to be over? Is this ever going to end? Is what's going to be the end of it all? I remember he loved me enough to die for me. And if he loved me enough to die for me, I can assure you he loves me enough to take care of me. I may not understand it all, but I don't have to understand it, because that's where trust comes in. Yes. A good afternoon assignment for all of you is read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It is full of unbelievable stories of what happened when people had faith. Write that down or put it in your memory. Hebrews chapter 11. It tells how ordinary people, now listen to me, ordinary people brought kingdoms down. They brought righteousness to a nation. They halted the ferocious Daniel, the lion's den. They smothered the destructive, and they rerouted armies, and they collected on unbelievable promises. When you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you can see that with ordinary people, what faith is capable of doing. Let me mention a few to you. By faith, Noah rode a storm into a rainbow. It was a horrible storm. Lasted 40 days. That's a bad storm. But the rainbow came out and Noah lived to tell the story. Abraham and Sarah at age 90 and 100 not only birthed a child, but they birthed the child that was the beginning of the whole nation. And then that same nation was saved by a little woman by the name of Jochebed when her son was born. And the king had decreed that all the baby boys had to be thrown to the, not the alligators, the what you call them, the, help me. Crocodiles, that's right. I live in alligator country. And when she heard that, she knew that her boy was special. And she refused to give him away. I have wondered, where in the world did Jochebed ever get the idea? But have you ever heard of a God idea? I don't know whether it's when she was holding little Moses to her breast while she was laying on her pallet at night, but somewhere something clicked in her mind and she said, I know what to do. I'll build a boat. And when Jochebed built that little homemade boat, built by a woman, mind you, she not only put her baby in it, that was the whole future of the nation of Israel. And it all happened with just the movement of something we call faith. She had no idea the outcome. She had no idea how important that was, but it was major. You don't know what anything is going to happen to you that can lead to whatever else. Joshua leaped over the walls of Jericho. It happened by faith. I was there one time. You know, when I was a kid, the walls of Jericho falling down, I thought they fell, you know, like this. Kapunk. They didn't. They fell. They were like this, and they fell like this. And they actually stepped over the walls. Only by faith. Nobody knows how it happened. But if you believe the Word of God, and you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe the Bible, you have to understand that one man's faith that did what God expected him to do, and God did what He promised He would do. And we still have that same God today. And when I need Him, He loves me just as much as He loved Joshua. And I could go on and tell you about Rahab and Gideon and so many ordinary people who did extraordinary things with the gift of faith. Faith can change what seems to be impossible into a supernatural reality. Isn't it amazing that faith can do that? I can't explain faith. I just believe it. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. I do believe You are there, God. And I know because You are God, You are able to do abundantly above anything my little pea brain could ever imagine. God has big plans in mind. So the miraculous can be seeded in prayer, but you will only harvest it in the gift of faith. Divine intervention can be nurtured in prayer, but it will be manifested in faith. I love the scripture, Matthew 8:13, and I quote it to myself all the time. When Jesus said to the centurion, "As thou hast believed, so be it." What you believe is what's going to happen. You know, it's a simple thing. Yes. So why do we constantly talk to ourselves negatively? Oh, I don't know if I'll ever get out of this. I don't know how I'll ever make it through this. It's just as easy to say, by God's help, I will get out of this. It just depends on how much you want to put the emphasis on it. So fill your mind with the miraculous feats of faith that are recorded in the Bible. Now, I'm a very simple person. I build my faith in a simple way, and I can tell you how to do it. You constantly refer in your mind to the miraculous things that happen in the scripture. You know the stories, if you've been in Sunday school or around church very often, how Joshua was fighting and the sun was going down and they couldn't win the battle. And God stopped the sun. Now, first of all, God didn't stop the sun. He stopped the earth because the sun is stationary. But in our pea brain, that's all the way they understood it at that particular time. He actually just halted. Now, do you understand what happened when that feat was going on? The entire universe had to have the brakes put on. Because everything moves together. It's not just the fact that God just reached up and stopped the sun. He stopped the entire universe because one man dared to believe that God was on his side and that miraculously God would intervene. So I remember Joshua, and then I remember all of these other wonderful things, how the walls fell flat at Jericho. I remember how Daniel was saved from the lions. I remember how the Hebrew children were saved from the fiery furnace. I remember how the oil multiplied for the widow woman so she didn't have to sell her sons into slavery. I remember how the flour and the meal multiplied in the barrel for the woman who was in need. And I also remember, because it's almost tax time, that when they needed money to pay their taxes, they found it in a fish's mouth. I like to fish. You know, God just, he's got a real sense of humor. He just does the strangest things. Who would have ever thought about going fishing to pay your taxes? Sounds good to me. But all of those things, you know, we try sometime to struggle too much. it's really not a struggle. It's just simply taking the fact and believing that God is able. Yes. And let me tell you, when I run up against a real meanie person that's a meanie, and I don't know whether God can save them or not, I always remember Saul. He was meaner than a junkyard dog. I mean, he was bad. Bad to the bone. And God took Saul and turned him into the Apostle Paul, and he wrote a good part of the New Testament for us. And so I say, God, you did that for Saul. Now I've got a meanie here, and I want you to work on him. That's the way you build your faith, folks. You have it. It's concrete. You can put your finger on it. You know it happened. And that's how you build faith. And if you want to live happily, you're going to have faith, because life just happens. You better get a grip, friend, if you're going to enjoy life. So in the stresses of surviving life, you better get a grip on the shield of faith. And you do that by the word of God. Your long cries and long prayers are not as productive as one word of faith. Now, fine with me if you want to pray 3 hours. But I'm going to tell you, you can pray 3 minutes and with faith in your heart and exalting Jesus Christ, and more can be accomplished than 5 hours of weeping and wailing and thinking about how bad it all is. You see, you find all of that building faith in the Word. I'll tell you a little story about me. It's been several years ago, but it's a benchmark in my life. They don't know where we were living on the campground, and I'd been walking around with a glob of gloom over me for days. Now, I'm kind of, what am I, melancholy a little bit? And I understand depression. I've had my part of depression. And, you know, and I'm very disciplined. I was functioning as though everything was okay. But there was this glob of gloom just hanging over me. And as my custom was, I got up and went to my chair that morning to pray, and I was rehearsing to God how bad everything was. That don't do too well. And then I remembered something my husband had said to me. You know, he's pretty nice most of the time, but sometimes he's not. Because he had said to me, "Why don't you practice what you preach?" Now, I did not think that was nice, and I did not appreciate it. But it was the truth. And I didn't tell him that I really knew it was the truth. But that morning, I reached over and got my little promise book that was laying there and turned to an area that gave me the word of God concerning what I was worried about. And I sat there in my chair, and instead of rehearsing how bad my problem was, I started reading the wonderful promises of God. And the more I read, the better I felt. And when I got through with that morning, I got up out of that chair, and I had no more glob of gloom, and I was happy and happy when Jesus Christ, knowing that all things would work some way. I didn't know how. But now let me tell you this. Nothing had changed except me. And it was because the Word had gone to work in my heart, and faith had ignited the joy of the Holy Ghost in my heart. And I knew that whatever was coming, that God was able. So it's not always our praying that accomplishes much, but it's our faith when we pray. Our faith in the ability of God to perform is what makes the difference. By Him are all things made. He made everything you can see. You know, I build my faith by watching the world, looking at nature. Everything God made came from His Word. That's why I rely on this. And if you don't know the Word, you are shortchanging yourself in life. Because if you pray the Word, what God said is a whole lot more important than the words I can utter. And I say His Word, and He will actually act on His Word. I'm telling you, life just happens. So you better get a grip. You need a grip on the shield of faith. And you do that by the Word of God. You know, God calls things that aren't as though they are. And he made everything that there is. So why do I doubt that he can't do anything he wants to do? It's amazing what God could do. So you build your faith the way God does. You call things before they happen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice that the word hearing is repeated because you never do it for once and for all. You are constantly having to rehearse to yourself. I knew every one of those scriptures that morning before I read them again. But it was the reading of them that brought life to my own heart by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, let me just tell you that from a psychological point of view, now, I'm not a psychologist, but I know this is true, that feelings follow facts. If you lead with your feelings, you're going to be in trouble, because feelings are renegades. You can be as happy as a lark and get one telephone call and you're on the floor. You can't depend on feelings, but you can depend on facts. So you lead with facts. And the fact is that he is able, that wrote this, he is able to do anything we could ask or think and more. He is able. That is a fact. So I don't let my feelings drag me around by saying, what if, get a case of the what ifs and you don't know what's going to go on. I lead by fact. And when I lead by fact that God is able, my feelings line up behind it. And I feel totally different. You know, it's more than a dozen times it's recorded that Jesus instructed us to ask. And one scripture says, ask boldly. You don't hint. You ask. You ask God for what you need. You ask God to work in your situation. You come directly to him. Some of us just mully grub around and cry and whine. Whining don't do any good, folks. It only lets the devil know you're there. You need to be in facts, and your feelings will follow your facts. So the shield and the sword, above all. Now, that's what I want you to remember. Above all, taking the shield of faith. But there's another part in Ephesians 6, 16, 17, and 18. And it says, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, y'all don't know it today. I hope you will get it. But I've really helped you. Because life is going to happen. And you're going to fall down and break your heart, and somebody's going to leave you, and you're going to be in trouble and hurt. But there is a God that sees it all, and he has promised to be a present help in time of trouble. So what do? We take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you can overcome anything with those. The formula for praying and overcoming and living is the shield of faith and the word of God. Now I'm almost through. Somebody here is going to find this to be really true this week. But it takes the effort of you to put it into action. You have to act on what you've been taught. Or otherwise, it just goes over your head. Because life just happens. But let me leave you with two or three scriptures that will help you maybe. Jeremiah 33:3. I learned this when I was a kid. Learning the word of God is one of the most valuable things you can ever do. And some of you don't even read it. How do you expect to learn it? But, my friend, it will stand with you when nothing else will. I had walked around for days feeling down. But an application of the word of God literally turned my day around. And let me tell you the other funny part of that. I don't even remember what the problem was now. And I was so down over whatever it was then. And I don't even remember it because I am a survivor. And I am living on faith. Yes. Jeremiah 33:3 says very plainly, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that you know not of. I believe it because it's the word of God. Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord God of all flesh. Note this statement. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything, a God who created the entire universe, who put the breath that's in you right now and you can't even explain it, and you're living on the breath of God, and who can explain how it all works? The God that did that said, is there anything too hard for me? There is not one problem we're facing that he is not able to help us to overcome. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. I love the way that ends. Who will also do it? What? It doesn't explain what it is. Every one of you have an it. Your it's not my it. My it's not your it. We live with a lot of it's in life. But whatever it is, I have given you a promise that faithful is he that calleth you, and he will also do it. Whatever is needed, God is able to do. He loved you enough to die for you. He loves you enough to take care of you. So I don't know what your problems are today. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know the heartaches, but I can promise you every one of us here are familiar with the pain of life. But I have come with good word for you today. You do not have to live burdened down with things that you can't solve yourself. You know, I learned a long time ago that the most important things in life are the things that I can't control. The things I can control really are very minor. It's the important things that I can't control. That's why you need a good God. That's why you need to learn to exercise the gift of faith. It is a wonderful gift that God has put in your reach, available for you, and it comes from the Word of God. Would you please stand? I don't know where you are today in life. I don't understand what's going on, and I'm going to ask Pastor to come on up here, and he will close this service, I'm sure, with prayer. But I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you today. I'm sure that if we could feel in the Spirit everything that is in this house today, it would be overwhelming. It would absolutely be overwhelming. But I'm just going to ask you to take my word for it. I have known him for a long time. I received the Holy Ghost 72 years ago. And I have walked with the Lord, stumbled along my way, tried it out, failed, got up, tried it again. But I am here to tell you that I'm not just a survivor, I'm a thriver. I have more faith today than I did when I was young. And the reason is because I have exercised it. I have seen him do things that are unbelievable. And I have the word for you today that whatever you need, you get a hold of the Word of God and a good grip on faith that comes from the Word. And God will see you through where you are. Pastor, as you come, Father, I pray for these people today. Life is full of pain. You understood it because you lived through it too. I'm so glad you lived life. You didn't have to live it so you would understand. You made life. You lived life so we would know that you understand. And I pray for these people today, whatever the problems are, if they're in danger of their soul being lost, if they're in danger of their life being threatened, if they're in danger of any sort or kind, I have given them the word from the Lord that you care and you are able to do abundantly above anything they could even imagine you doing. Now, I pray that you would do a work in the heart and lives of these people here today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We receive. We receive. Thank you.